You're listening to
V for Vertigo,
episode 71.
Something kind of vertigo going on here. I've been seeing fables in my dreams. I've been laying scalped out here for hours in this swamp in New Orleans. I've been reading spells from books of magic, trying just to help blaze trails to you. Feeling like a loser, so so tragic. Feeling like I'm left to preach at food. All the time spent moving, oh so slow. It's something kind of vertigo.
Welcome, it's the beginning of another edition of V for Vertigo, where I'm in the air everywhere, streaming on the vast world wide web. And this podcast is one man's journey into the world of all things Vertigo comics, because everything else is just picture books. I'm your host, Mark. One shall stand, one shall fall, and it shall not be me, Johnson. And this week's spoiler field review will cover Air Pure Land by G. Willow Wilson and M.K. Perker. And yeah, I'm loving Transformers, and I love Wrecking Shit as Prime. And I was playing last night with my friend, and it was weird. Like, I told him that I psychologically, for whatever reason, I play better as an Autobot, Wham Prime, Bumblebee, Mirage, except RC, or Warpath. And then, like, I have trouble with Soundwave or Random X, Decepticon, Scout Guy, and Megatron. It's Shockwave. Well, I just suck with the scientist. But I told him that, and it's true. Although, man, when I was Soundwave, there was one where I got, like, 20 kills and shit. I wreck shit. It was funny. I don't do that, cheap shit that people do with the leader with the fusion cannon and the jumping all around. I was just tearing. I just go in there like I'm Prime and go, Prime did it. He turned the tide. You know what Cup says in the movie? Sometimes, or most of the time, that depends. It's more like, Prime didn't do it. He died. Yeah, but hey, everybody. So I said last week that despite it's going to be a probably pretty long show, there's a lot of news and whatnot. I said last week I would talk about the shit poopy that was Predators and how it was so fucking terrible. And don't waste your money, and apparently no one is. Although I just heard it got a sequel. Wah, 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 wah. But where should I begin? Okay. I probably mentioned this before, but when it comes to sequels, movies can either go in three directions. Well, two directions, actually. Two main directions. One's kind of in the middle-ish. They can either go in a completely different direction, i.e., or is it, is it not i.e., or is it the other one? I always get confused, but we'll just say i.e., because it sounds better, and I can't remember the other term. I.e., Aliens and Predator 2. Now, while Predator 2 was good, it wasn't great, but Aliens is great. Now, that just goes in a completely different direction. Or another part would be, looking at my thing, Die Hard 2? Yeah, Die Hard 2 is similar to Predator 2, but it doesn't always work out. Like, what do I have? Yeah, Bad Boys 2. No. That's kind of the same. It's just bigger and betterer. Well, maybe not betterer. Matrix. Reloaded. The second one. Different direction, right? Didn't quite work out. Although that didn't quite work out because the third one sucked so much. Now, another direction movies can go into is doing the same but biggerer and betterer. Well, hopefully betterer. Bad Boys 2 was this prime example of something that didn't work. Again, Pirates 2. What else is another one that goes in the same? Oh, that did work. Back to the Future 2. Yeah, that was very, it had elements. Terminator 2. Where they have, see, that's probably the middle ground. But the third thing, I know I said two, whatever, two or three, whatever. The third thing is it can do a ripoff of itself. A prime example of that would be a lot of direct-to-DVD movies. Damn near all the American Pie sequels. I don't know how many they're on. Where they just do more of the same with a different cast. And another example would be Predators. So, that is probably the worst thing if you're not going to do it bigger and hopefully better. Like, as bad as Bad Boys 2 was, it had a lot more action and explosion. Now, Predators tries to do the same, but it actually feels like there's less. It's really slow, but it is really a slow movie. The biggest problem is it straight lifts Predator. That is the problem with all the sequels that try to straight just do things, but bigger and whatnot. They lift stuff, but Predators lifts a lot of things. Alright? And that wouldn't be... Well, see, the problem is Predator is so good, right? It has an excellent cast. It has great acting. I never would thought I'd say this, but Arnold Schwarzenegger outshined Adrian Brody. It has characters you care about. See, Predators, while ripping off Predator, you don't give a shit about the characters. They could have all fucking died, and most of them did. In a very racist order, by the way. It's just bad, man. Okay, I guess I'm going to spoil it, so spoiler alert for Predators, but really. So, let's count some of the things that it ripped off. Well, there's a Russian guy who's supposed to be like Jesse Ventura with the minigun. It's not the same. The Predator try to whisper, and that's not the same. Because you're like, oh, I've seen that. There's a guy with wooden traps, like Arnold, but they don't work out for that guy. Because you don't see it. I think what else is there? I'm just going to go on another point, but Adrian Brody is covered in mud. But not to hide himself. It's more stylized, and for some reason, unlike Arnold, waited till the last second to be covered in mud, and no one else got covered in mud. The fight scene between the Yakuza guy. Why a Yakuza, which is a gangster, is apparently a samurai warrior, I don't understand, with a centuries-old sword. I was like, wait, what? Is that sharp? Oh, yeah, and he won, unlike Billy, but they didn't show Billy. I actually remember when I was a kid, I was like, oh, shit, they're gonna show a fight between Predator and Billy, and they didn't. I remember being disappointed at the time, but looking back on it, it's actually better, because if you watch that scene with Billy, you hear a horrendous scream like, oh, and then you hear Arnold, or you see Arnold and guy with all the pussy jokes turn around looking all scared. Oh, yeah, people in the Predators, they don't really look scared. You see them going like, oh, shit, with the guns, and then he blasts the wounded guy. And then Arnold gets hurt, and he's like, run, get to the chopper! Like, he does it with emotion, and there's no emotion here, because Adrian Brody's, he's like Batman. I'm a loner. I don't really care. See, the problem is, another problem with the movie is that you don't care about the characters because they don't care about each other. And it would have been cool if they had expounded on that. Although there's a boring twist with Topher Grace, and you're like, oh. And then Lawrence Fishburne comes out of nowhere with cool Predator gear, and it's not really used again. And he dies, and he's a survivor, but they didn't do anything with his character. And what would have been cool is if Lawrence Fishburne had helped train them, which I thought they were going. He showed him the ways because he knows a lot. If he would have helped train them to defeat the Predators, I would have been like, alright, that's cool. Or another thing would have been Lawrence Fishburne would help them, but then he's gone crazy, right? Because he's been alone for a while. And then he starts hunting them, and then they gotta kill him. Now that'd be really cool. They didn't do either of that, so who gives a shit? And probably the last thing about Predators is they have these super black Predators who apparently die like bitches. And you're like, oh, you're not scared of them. And, you know, oh, they died. They died easily. Right. You're really super bad. Like, see, the problem with introducing a new predator, especially because Lawrence Fishburne talks about it for 5 seconds, saying there's some kind of civil war and the bigger ones hate the little ones. And the little ones are the ones we've seen on Earth in the prequels, or the previous ones. They don't really go into the backstory, because you can't. Like, not like the predators are going to talk and be like, well, we've got this problem. Because if it did, that'd be lame. So just adding it is awesome. But, I don't know, man. It was very bad. Just don't watch it. So disappointing. These summer movies have been shit altogether. But, I mean, if you want to watch it, if you're interested, download the fucker. Or, seriously, just rewatch the first one. And some people give the second one a lot of shit. Actually, a lot of people like it, but some people do give it shit. And say what you want. It went a different direction, but more importantly, it expounded on the Predator mythos. And Danny Glover kicks ass. But it's really cool. Like, you had the guy at the end. Take it. So it shows you they've been hunting him for a while. And then you showed the spear, the little disc thingy, and the net, right? Predators kind of added nothing new. I mean, I guess you can no longer be covered in mud. Oh, it was also a real bitch the way Adrian Brody beat the Predator. It was lame. It was lame and didn't make any sense. And so now that I've got that out of my system, I think it's out. I don't want to talk about Predators no more. But you know what I do want to talk about? My San Diego Comic-Con trip. Nah, I didn't go. My friend wasn't even able to give me a Galactus. That shit sold out quick. And I am not waking up at 7 a.m. on Monday morning to get one. Although, if it's 7 a.m. Eastern time, I might still be up. Then I could get one. But who knows? Alright, so enough of this. Enough of this movie crap. And shall we talk about some news?
Vertigo News.
So, it looks like Vertigo is going to bring back stories in their archives through various one-shots and specials under the title Vertigo Resurrected. But I guess they're also doing things never published, because Warren Ellis wrote a Hellblazer story called Shoot. And I don't know what it's about, but there's a gun involved. He must have written it around the Columbine shooting, so it's probably why it never got published. I don't know if am I interested in that? I am interested if I don't already have the book or haven't read it. I would be interested, but I don't know how that's going to feel, because just various one-shots. I mean, it's very good if you're a monthly reader, I suppose, or you have a huge Vertigo background stuff, so I don't know. I'll see how it goes. I'll probably big up the first trade, let's be honest. Another thing is, get your previews orders ready, because Hellblazer has a 5-issue miniseries. It begins in October, written by C. Spencer with art by Sean Murphy. And there you go. I don't read Hellblazer, but sounds exciting. Unfortunately, we have some bad news. There are a couple more cancellations, in case you haven't heard. Madam Xanadu is getting cancelled. I'm sad. Although it might just be absorbed into the DC thing, which would not be bad. But, well, it would. There'd probably be no nudity. But Madam Xanadu is getting cancelled. It sucks. I mean, I'm very sad, because I love... It's one of those books you just looked at. Love the art. But as a non-DC guy, like, I got a kind of a feel for the world reading that, and I thought Xanadu was cool, but there you go. Fuck you, DC, for canceling that shit. And to end on issue 16 is Greek Street. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't even know what it's about, to be honest. I heard it was out. Some people liked it. It's not talked about. I'm not really surprised, because I was like, okay. You know what would be better? It was called Geek Street. It dealt with geeks. Because at least I know what the title is. I don't. What is Greek Street about? I assume it's about Greeks. I'm still seriously. I have no idea what it's about. I might pick up the first grade. I don't know. Only has two grades. Or three maybe. Alright, so at everyone's favorite I Stab You in the Eye Comic Con is I still can't believe that happened, by the way. Or near the eye. How do you? It's very weird. Glad I wear glasses. You know, sometimes I'm glad I wear glasses. So I can't really get stabbed in the eye is one of them. Alright. Karen Berger confirmed that DC characters such as Swamp Thing will leave Vertigo and go back to the DCU, except for Constantine. Now, I'm not really sure what characters that entails. I'm pretty sure it would entail the Endless, since they're doing a death cover of some issue, or death's appearing in an issue of something. But I don't know, what does that mean? Animal Man, Swamp Thing, Madame Xanadu maybe? Yeah, I don't know how that means, but no Constantine, so, which makes sense. Yeah, I'm not sure. I got this from Bleeding Cool, and Bleeding Cool forms a bunch of dicks. Apparently, this is interesting, right? I found it interesting. There were a few of them, I don't want to generalize. A few of them were saying how uncharismatic Karen Berger was, and blaming like all the cancellations. Because if you combine this with all the cancellations, they're blaming like Madame Xanadu, Greek Street, Air, Unknown Soldier, and whatever else I may be forgetting. Combined with their characters leaving, they were like, "Oh, what is wrong with Karen Berger? And she's uncharismatic." And I'm thinking, nobody calls Soundwave uncharismatic. Oh, you guys, you don't get that? Transformers the movie? You know, where the Constructor console, no one would follow an uncharismatic boy like you. And hey, and then Rumble says, you know, nobody calls Soundwave uncharismatic. Alright, well, if you don't know what I'm talking about, fuck you. But I was thinking, man, they're entirely too harsh on her. She seems very nice. I've seen her in interviews. I've even interviewed her. And you know what? I would agree. She is uncharismatic. But what the fuck does that have to do with being an executive editor? She's not. I mean, yeah, she's an editor, dude. Like, for real. And it's probably not her fault most of these titles are getting canceled. In fact, I would be willing to bet that she fought for some of them. Or most of them. Harder for some than others, I'm sure. But she has to take it as a directive from whoever is in charge of DC. So, would it be DiDio? DiDio's got bosses, too. So, but then those bosses, I don't know. So, man, fuck those guys. That's fucked up. Like, man, I'm not charismatic either. You know, whatever. But chill. People like us, we chill. She's an editor. How do you expect? She does a very good job at what she does. She's just not. I mean, if I could, would I have her on a panel? She's not as exciting as DiDio or Quesada, right? Or Grant Morrison, or as wacky as Grant Morrison, right? But you gotta have her. I mean, Bleeding Cool. A bunch of jackasses. Alright. So in case you read Brightest Night, apparently the Swamp Thing's returning. I don't know how that goes or even care, but hey. There you go. I hear Brightest Night's good. I'm not gonna read it. Blackest Night was shit. And lastly, John Constantine will get married in Hellblazer 275, written by Peter Milligan in a story called Bloody Carnations. And I don't see. I've read a lot of Vertigo. I've read a lot of Hellblazer. But even I'm like, who? Cause, well, I don't read it on a regular basis, obviously. Who could he marry? L? I mean, there are people. There have been some speculations that, yeah, L, he ruined with the demon sperm blood thing, which was weird. There are other people I'm blanking on. But who, I'm willing to bet, and I give you 2.5 to 1 odds, that whoever he marries It ain't gonna last. It'll probably be, it's not gonna be like one of those, he has a wife, normal chicks. It'll be like, he married her for a reason. Especially with the name called Bloody Carnations. He married her for a reason. Probably a demon. Just guessing. And then, it'll, things will happen and she'll die. She'll die if she's good. They'll get something else divorced. I don't know if she's bad. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm actually tempted to see what that's like, but I doubt I will. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. That's the last bit of news, right? Is that it? Yeah. It's a lot. It's not, man. As the news has been very depressing, the shit gets canceled, shit leaves Vertigo. Yeah. If you're in the DCU, though, you don't care. Well, you wouldn't be listening to this show. You might actually be excited for whatever reason. That, you know, characters are going back. And then you probably wouldn't give a fuck about Xanadu, Greek Street, or the other series I've mentioned. Well, luckily, John Constantine's getting married. There you go. Let's end it on a high note.
And now it's time for the rundown.
So, like I said in the beginning, this episode will be about Air Pure Land by G. Willow Wilson and M.K. Parker. Now, this trade is very weird. So, Blythe sleeps with some dude, but then Zan walks in. So, they're having a tiff for pretty much the entire issue. And then Blythe goes to Zan's brother, Muhammad. I just like saying it that way. Muhammad the Sad. Is it Sad? I don't even remember. And it learns more about him. Yeah, but she's getting headaches. It's hard to say if she's getting headaches because of her powers. She does her first solo flight. Or if she's getting headaches because she takes some kind of drug to not get air sickness. Right. Well, in the end, she saves the day. And she gets with the boyfriend. Actually, Amelia Earhart convinces to get with the boyfriend. And she's in a hospital. And they get their freak on. And, but she, does she black out? I don't know. I don't remember. I read it. And then I finished it a few days ago. I don't remember. Well, anyways, they get together. Everything's okay-dokay between Zan and Blythe at the end of the book. It's not okay-dokay with Clearfleet and Blythe. But I suppose I'll learn more about that in the next issue. Trade, I mean. Alright. So, Pure Land. Oh, which apparently that's what Pakistan means. There you go. Bit tidbit. I didn't double-check this to see if Willow was pulling the strings or... I just take it for what it's worth. So, but translated, Pure Land, or Pakistan means Pure Land, apparently. Now, Pure Land feels a hell of a lot different than the previous two trade. When I was reading it, it reminded me of Strangers in Paradise. Or TV shows. Probably, odds are maybe not everyone's read Strangers in Paradise, but you have seen a TV show. There's like... usually a season or arc or something, episode, where they jump ahead a few years, and then, you know, it turns out it was just a dream or whatever. Some time travel shit, right? Who cares? That's what it felt like reading this. I think it had to do with the fact that Air is ending, so Willow wanted to hurriedly wrap things up. It's not completely rushed, though, but it's just like a huge jump. And the reason for the jump, which would annoy me if I read floppies, but I don't, so who cares? The reading for the jump is like the tone. It's just the tone is different. Like, in the first two trades, Blythe is trying to control her powers, right? She's a fish out of water. She doesn't know what's going. She's Luke Skywalker in A New Hope. A New Hope? A New Hope and half of Empire. Oh, A New Hope and Empire. And then suddenly in Pure Land, she's like Luke Skywalker in Return of the Jedi. And you're like, whoa. See, a time jump. There you go. Time jump in the movies. She's more confident in ability, and she's not exactly a master, but she's more of a journeyman now. I mean, that's good, but still feels a little bit rushed. It didn't completely bother me, but felt a little rushed. But that would have to do because there's ending. Again, fuck you, DC, for ending that shit. Everyone ends it. Is there an ongoing series that's been recent? Because you figure Fables has been out for a while. DMZ's been out for a while. Jack of Fables been out for a while. And The Unwritten. Next thing you know, The Unwritten's going to leave. Or get canceled. Books can't leave on their own. I don't know. Now, I've said this from the beginning. That Air is a love story. Right? At its heart. Whatever. All that rubbish shit you're thinking of. Unfortunately for me, it's never quite worked out. Like, I've never cared about Zayn's... I'm butchering his name. Four-letter name, by the way. I never believed in their relationship. And it doesn't help that the series is ending. Like, it's wrapping things up and making it even worse. I didn't mind, I was going to say the relationship's not as bad as episode 2, but seriously, that fucking any relationship done's not as bad as episode 2. Yeah, I can't think of any, but it's the fact that Zayn he does seem very Anakin-like. He throws around the word love a lot, and it's... I would like their relationship a lot more if that word wasn't thrown around all nearly really. Call me cynical. Call me cold-hearted. Call me a bastard. Unromantic? Probably. Uncharismatic? Definitely. They barely know each other. Like, love... I mean, even in You Got Mail, probably my favorite romantic comedy, they don't use that word love. And in Love Actually... In some of the stories, they don't... Probably most of the stories, they don't use the word love. And it's like, here, I love you. Like, I'm thinking, dude, you barely fucking know her. Like, she's hot. I wouldn't mind sleeping with her. I agree with you on that. But do you love her? Seriously? Seriously? Nah, no, you don't. She doesn't... Like, it's strange. He throws that word around a la Romeo or Anakin a lot. But Blythe... does not throw that word around as much. I don't know. I prefer deeds. Like, I know you care deeply for each other because of all the shit you guys have gone through. But love, really? Even if you do love each other, like, I could see it. But don't say it. Say it, don't spray it. Yo. I don't know. Take that out, it'd probably be stronger. But, see, I don't like that part. But you know the worst thing in the volume? It's not all gravy. I don't know. Willow's a good writer. Better than me. Everyone's better than me, apparently. According to my editor, a lot of red. But she can't write action, right? Yeah, I don't even know if she has. She's young. She's fucking my age, for God's sakes. So I'm sure she'll get better. But she can't. As of right now. No offense, she cannot write action. I was taken out of Pure Land story when they got to the action. I was like, what the fuck? Okay, there's a scene where Muhammad's rogue, sort of rogue group, finds the Taliban. And then the Taliban uses people as human shields. And some of them have guns. Alright? So instead of the Taliban just killing Muhammad's group from behind the shields, as some people would do, there's this awkward fight that Muhammad's group wins and they don't get hurt. They're stabbing and they're shooting. It's like, what? I know automatic weapons are shit and can't really hit anything, but they're so close and crowded. You can just seriously just pull the trigger, hold whomever by the neck. It would have made more sense had the hostages did some interference or fucked up the shit, but And then, shortly thereafter, maybe it's that entire issue or the next one. I don't know. Shortly thereafter, after they get away, they're being hit by mortars. And I don't know if it's the way he's drawn, but those explosions seem pretty close. And then you figure between the explosions or debris that they would get hurt. But none of that happens. But there's the last mortar is about to be a direct hit. And Blythe zaps them away. And I'm thinking, are you serious? What makes artillery so deadly? It's not the direct hit. Like, the direct hit, you're dead. It's the indirect hits that still fuck shit up and may kill you. Especially out in the open. It's just like, seriously, I don't know. Those took me out of the story. Thankfully, that's, you know, all there was actions in there. Now, there are things that some like. I don't even know what the fuck that means. I like how Willow goes into various factions fighting for control of Pakistan here, even if she only brushes upon them. As a dirty, hedonistic, faithless Westerner, it's nice to get that insight into things that are more complicated than our news outlets and politicians make them to be. It's not just, oh, the Taliban are bad guys. It's, you know, there are factions, like in any other country, vying for control. Sure, it generally does come down to the end, but even, or two factions in the end, but even two factions, there's a whole mess of splinter groups, and each with their own ideological ideas, even if they believe the same undercore thing, so. That was cool. I mean, part of me wishes she went into that more. Or didn't make it as simple as she did. I understand why. I mean, it's not a part of the story. And to be honest, most of the audience wouldn't care. But doesn't matter anyway. Story's getting canceled. Or maybe she did. They have a plan to do that. But then it's getting canceled, so whatever. Now, I wanted to say, I've said this before, but MK Perker, you the man, dude. You the fucking man. I'm like I've known the art is good. Was like, every trade gets better and better. And I'm like, okay, and the last trade was really good. Better than the first trade. Better than Cairo. And then I go, this is the best looking trade of all. All right, man. It looks crisper, more detailed, more alive than the other ones. I'm like, dude, you good. And you know what? You draw well and meet a deadline. Wherever you're from. I don't know what part of the world you're from. But I was like, man, we got American jars artists that are fucking laggers. Posting on Facebook and shit. With their right or left wing things. I don't know what the difference is. I forget. You know who I'm talking to, Ethan Van Sciver. I don't know. People give him shit. But I would give him shit for being late. Him and other artists, but I don't read floppy, so who cares? Maybe he was late, who knows? But yeah, he's good. This is one of those books, you really just look at the art. Even the awkward action art. But the thing I enjoy the most, and who I think is in some ways more of a main character than Blythe, is Amelia Earhart. Maybe it's because I could relate to her. Probably gonna die alone. Sad and alone. Doing something great. Go down in history books. Like Amelia. Yeah, but, you know, I think I like her also because she's a stronger character. And she don't take no shit from no fools. And let's be honest. Amelia Earhart and everything I've seen her or read her in. She's one of those characters I like. I mean, she even made a Voyager, a pre-7-9 Voyager episode good. So what does that tell you? But it's good. I really wish Air wasn't cut short, because I have a feeling, could be wrong, have a feeling that Willow wanted to do more with Amelia instead of just passing a torch. Maybe he wanted to explore where she's been for the last however many years. She explored a little bit of her past here, but I had a feeling he wanted to explore more. So that's all I got for There's this trade. It's a really good trade. One more trade to go. Oh, and you do get a lot of bang for your buck here. You get six pretty thick issues for $14.99. That's good. There, you can get it from, I found this new site. Let me see where it's at. CheapAssTrades.com. CheapAssTrades.com. Yeah, that's right. Well, you could save fucking up to 99% on stuff, 68. I'm just at a random page, 71, 57, 10%. Oh, well, that sucks. I mean, a lot of the times they'll be used. Sometimes not. Oh, yeah, used. So if you don't mind used shit, go there. Yeah, CheapAssTrades.com. Sorry, InStockTrades.com, but you're not sponsoring me. Not that I've actually applied. I'm so lazy. Maybe I'll get Cheap Ass Trades to sponsor me. CheapAssTrades.com. Where if you're do they have a tagline there? Let me see. They got no tagline, right? Oh, where the smiles are free? Is that their tagline? That's a shitty tagline. Let me see if I can think of one on the fly. CheapAssTrades.com. Where if you're a cheap ass. I'm stuck. I can't think of one on the fly. I can think of one better than, what was that again? Where the smiles are free. I pray to God that's not the tagline. And that is just on the homepage. So, but yeah, go to cheapasstrades.com. Okay, everybody. As usual, thank you for listening to me. And I hope you had a wonderful time at San Diego. But fuck you, I hate you, I want to go. I just can't tell God. As always, appreciate it. Feedback, iTunes. Next week's pick will be the massive The Sandman, The Kindly Ones. I see it on my desk. Oh, that shit's huge. Questions, comments, suggestions, email me at vertigocast@gmail.com or go to thecomicforums.com, which, you know, slight side note, the board, I mean, I do attribute it to the board being down for those couple weeks. Man, the board's been quiet. Not my section, which is generally quiet. But in general, I think it's because a couple other dudes made another form and then took like half the people there. So it's kind of fucked up. I saw that shit coming though when they made it. I was like, oh, they're going to take a lot of people. And they did. Now it's divided. And it's like, oh, that's sad. I'm not even going to name their site because the main guy hates me. He hates me. Brad Milo hates me. Alright, see what's coming up. Visit the website at vforvertigo.blogspot.com. And I'm also part of the Comics Podcast Network. So you can check out other shows at comicspodcast.com. And you can follow me on twitter.com/hellsfire. And remember, you can't lose what you don't put in the middle, but you can't win much either.
And like that,